Welcome to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, where you'll find the unique, the bizarre, and sometimes the haunted. Feel free to look around, peruse the items, and never fear, there's nothing here that bites. Hard anyway. Well, hello there. How wonderful it is to see you return to Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. I am your shopkeeper, Chris Baker, and today we've got a curious item. It may seem a bit strange for Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop, but this is a stub of a train ticket. Now, the train, a mode of transportation that linked both coasts of this country. It's steeped in history and tradition, and it is steeped in tales of terror. And if you look closely at this train ticket stub, you may notice, is that a smear of blood and fur, obscuring the destination to which this train was bound? And therein lies the essence of today's episode of Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. So let's turn the page as we take a look at the new Creepshow special issue, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. So, Creepshow Volume 2 came out this past year, late last year, and of course the last issue came out in January, and it was really cool because with this volume of Creepshow, the comic book series, you got a special edition. They did a special Christmas edition, and I was really happy to see towards the end of the 5-issue Volume 2 run of Creepshow that they were going to do another special issue coming up after issue 5. And that special issue, it's pretty much a one-shot issue. It was cool to find out it was going to be based on Joe Hill's Wolverton Station short story. Now, that short story comes from 2019's Full Throttle collection of short stories by Joe Hill, and oddly enough, I almost bought that back in 2019. My wife, then she was my girlfriend at the time, we were at, I believe, Barnes & Noble, kind of looking around, and this was on the display. It had just come out, and I was hem-hawing around about whether to buy it or not. I just didn't, you know, at the time, you know, money was kind of tight, so I didn't really want to spend the 26, 27, however much money it was to buy this in hardback, and I was like, oh, I'll wait and get it in paperback. So I didn't buy it, and then, of course, I never bought it when it came out on paperback, but I wish I had. And now that I've seen this story, Wolverton Station, and I know another story that Joe Hill has done with the Creepshow TV series by the Silver Water of Lake Champlain, a couple really good stories that now I want to go back and this, I've added this to my reading list for 2024, but I had not read the Wolverton Station short story, although in preparation for this, and it spoiled a little bit for me, but really reading this comic book adaptation was going to spoil it for me, so it wasn't a big deal. So I kind of read about what the Joe Hill short story was all about, so I could kind of compare and contrast as to how much this comic adaptation stayed true to the actual short story of Joe Hill. And I have to say, for the most part, it is fairly accurate. I mean, I'm going to get into some spoilers, but right now I don't want to be too terribly spoilery. But there, pretty much the same things happen. They may have happened in a little bit different way. There may be scenes added or taken out. I think the biggest difference between the short story and this comic adaptation for Creepshow is the main character. Not even so much the main character, but what this main character does for a living. I was watching an interview with a couple of the people involved in this, including the writer, Jason Tramella, and he said that, you know, they changed what this main character does for a living to kind of fit more of a Creepshow vibe. And I respect that, and I understand that, and I actually like it. It added an interesting twist that really dives into it being a horror comic and this being a horror story, and it delves a little more into what horror fans are going to like, I think. So we'll discuss that a little more once we get into the spoiler section, but I really dig this. I love the artwork in this. The cover of this special edition comic for Creepshow, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. I just love the artwork on the front. You've got the creep. You've got the werewolf with the conductor's outfit howling at the moon. You've got the train coming right at you. It's got the blood splatter all over the windshield of this train. It's just, you don't have to know much about the story of Wolverton Station to kind of get an idea where this train's going. And I like a cover of a comic or a graphic novel that does that. It really gives you a sense of what the story is going to be about without telling you too much of the story. So I really dug that. But this is a wonderful story. If you love horror mixed with a little black comedy and dark humor, this is going to be right up your alley. It's not horror comedy by any stretch of the imagination, but there is some humor. The writers for this, of course, it credits Joe Hill as a writer. He wrote the Wolverton Station short story. He didn't write this adaptation. Jason Charmella wrote the adaptation, and he's worked with Joe Hill before. So I think Joe, in working with Creepshow and Greg Nicotero and the gang, I think he felt comfortable with Jason Charmella writing this adaptation. It also features artist Michael Walsh. And if you're not familiar with Michael Walsh, you should, because he's a wonderful artist, and especially with comics. And if you checked out Creepshow Volume 2, one of my favorites from Volume 2, and if you want to hear my thoughts on that, you can check out, we've got an episode on Creepshow Volume 2 that we did back in January after the final issue came out, and you'll hear my thoughts on this story. But Michael Walsh was the artist on one of my favorite stories out of Volume 2 of Creepshow, The Man with No Eyes. Just wonderfully wicked story, creepy and terrifying, and the art is just superb. And really, like I said, it emulates all the horror that you want in a horror comic. But ultimately, just a brief synopsis of this story. You have a guy, he is a collector of horror memorabilia, props from old horror movies. He's rich, and he's trying to amass the biggest and best collection of horror memorabilia and props memorabilia from classic horror movies. And he gets a call from a buddy of his in England that this guy has something that he just can't live without. But this guy is not a good guy. Saunders is his name, and Saunders is one of those guys. In the short story, he's a little bit different, and we'll go into that once we get into the spoiler territory. But for this comic version of Saunders, he is a collector, but he'll lowball people. And it shows a couple scenes right off the bat where he's lowballing people that really need the money for these artifacts of horror history. And, you know, he's lowballing them and giving them a fraction of what these items are worth. So he's not a good guy. And of course, he travels to England for this almost holy grail of horror movie prop pieces. And once he gets to England, he enters a world that it's really kind of hard to explain. It delves into werewolves. Like I said, it has a lot of black comedy. It has a lot of gore, and there are bloodbath scenes in this that will send chills up your spine, thanks to the wonderful artwork of Michael Walsh. But it's a really good story. It's a really good adaptation of Joe Hill's work. I think Jason Charmella did a really good job with crafting this story, keeping it as true as I'm aware to the Joe Hill short story, but changing it enough to make it fit within the confines of a graphic novel or comic book. And it definitely is one of those stories that you get a lot in horror, especially short horror, like in an anthology series like Creepshow, whether it's the movies, whether it's the TV series. You got a lot of that in Tales from the Crypt. It's one of those stories where the character you're following throughout this is a horrible person, and you're waiting this whole time. You're still scared. You still find yourself scared for them for some reason, but you're waiting for them to get their comeuppance. And this story does not disappoint when it comes to that. And like I said, we'll get a little more into it once we get into the spoiler section. But definitely pick up a copy of this special edition of Creepshow, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. It's a little different from the normal Creepshow comics. Of course, the normal Creepshow comics, each issue has two stories where this is just one story straight through. I like the two-story format for Creepshow comic. It allows you to get a couple really short stories in, and you know, you can just get a little taste of horror here. In this story, you can get a little taste of a different horror story in the next one. But I would hope that they would do more special issues like this, more special presentations like this, where you do just focus on one longer story. Because I found it kind of cool to get a little more. I mean, you can delve into characters a little more. There again, this isn't long by any stretch of the imagination. You can sit down and read it, and I'm not sure. I didn't time myself, but I had about 15 minutes left before the Penguins game started. I'm a big hockey fan, Pens and Rangers. I'm recording this on Sunday, March the 16th, and I had 15 minutes before the puck dropped, and I had this read with plenty of time to spare. So it's not a long story, but it is a little bit longer than you would get with a normal Creepshow story, and I would hope that they would do more of this in the future, because I really liked the idea of having just a little more time spent in a story and in the world that, you know, these writers and artists create. It was really fun. And there again, like I said, I hope we get to see some more of these special editions, whether it be like the Christmas special, which was in the usual Creepshow two-story format, or something like this, where they just focus on one story and give it a little more room to creep around. But yeah, check out the Creepshow special issue one-shot, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. I really think you're going to enjoy it if you're a horror fan. If you love werewolf stories, this is something interesting and different. The way that Joe Hill wrote the story and the way they portray it in here, it's not your atypical werewolf story. So go check that out. But we are going to head into some spoiler territory. So if you haven't read this and you want to read it without having anything spoiled for you, then I'm going to say go check it out and then come back and hear my complete thoughts on this special edition of Creepshow. But if you have read it or you don't care one way or the other, you just want to hear what it's about, then we're going to head into some spoiler territory. So I love after the cover, one of my favorite pages in this is this first page you get, where you have the creep kind of slinking over the shoulder of this Saunders character. It's kind of backlit, and Saunders' face is kind of dark, and he's poring over this Dracula's amulet, and we kind of get an introduction to him from the creep about how he is a collector. He's a rich collector of horror memorabilia, and of course he's got Dracula's amulet here from the Bela Lugosi Dracula from the 1930s. Now, the character Saunders is a little different in the Joe Hill short story. In the Joe Hill short story, he's kind of a hatchet man. He is a guy that works for big corporations to go in and make deals and bust people's balls and rake them over the coals until he can get these big corporations the best deal they can get. So, you know, their profit margins can be bigger. And I believe he's working for a big, like, coffee chain, almost like it almost seems like a de facto Starbucks from what I'm understanding. There again, like I said, I didn't read the short story yet, but from what I understand of the short story, and he's coming to make a deal in England to bring this chain there. And when he gets to England, he's come across all these protests, people protesting him being there and bringing this coffee chain to Great Britain. In the Creepshow comic, it's different. It's actually a driver's strike that he comes upon. So that's the reason why he can't get a driver to take him somewhere. Now, apparently the strike is only going on in this city because when he gets to Wolverton, there's a cabbie there who's driving just fine, but there's a little bit of difference, human and werewolf, so that may be a part of that. But I like this first scene. Like I said, you get a couple instances where he's screwing people out of these treasured family heirlooms, these artifacts from horror stories. Like I said, the Dracula's amulet, there's a prop from The Mummy that he shows, and he gets this call from a friend over in England who has what to him feels like the Holy Grail because he loves werewolves. It is the cane with the silver werewolf's head from the movie, The Wolfman. So he's coming to England to get that. And because of the driver's strike, he has to take a train to where he's going. But I think one of the weird things about this and one of the cool things about this is like in that first panel that you get when he gets to England, he comes across the driver's strike. It is really cool because like in the background, you see a werewolf walking around with a little cap on. Also, Joe Hill, if you look on the very far right, Joe Hill makes an appearance. And then, of course, the Creep up front with a sign. Everybody's got their picket signs, but the Creep has a sign, "Just here to creep," which I found hilarious. But I'm like, what's going on with this werewolf in the background? Like I said, I'm not familiar with the short story, so I wasn't 100% sure. And as this story progresses, you realize that werewolves are a thing in this iteration of England, and they just walk about freely without having to hide or anything like that. When he gets on the train, he's got a first class ticket, but you see quickly that the first class ticket adds a little bit of, I would guess, safety for humans, whereas when he goes back to coach to use the restroom, he finds that humans aren't safe back in coach, and he comes into some pretty bloody situations where, you know, this woman has been torn apart, her guts hanging out everywhere. The bathroom looks like there's been a bloodbath in there. So you understand quickly the weird dynamic between werewolves and humans in this version of England. It almost feels like a socio-economical commentary where the rich are afforded a little bit more, if you will, safety, as they can be up in first class and not have to worry about getting torn apart, but the poor are being brutalized by these werewolves. And I know they have mentioned that, like, the werewolves, especially in the coach section, kind of equating them to like the football hooligans and kind of the problem that England has with some of these hooligans that are just running around and harassing people and beating the shit out of people. And I don't know about that, but I could definitely see like some correlations there, some ways in which Joe Hill was trying to connect some dots and make, you know, maybe make a little bit of a statement about that. I liked the back and forth that Saunders has with the more sophisticated werewolf up in the first class section of the train. It was a little bit of a back and forth between these two. A bit of a snotty back and forth on both parts, because the werewolf is, you know, of course, speaking with a British accent and saying all Americans smell like cheeseburgers, and Saunders is just kind of taking it, seems very creeped out by the fact that there's this werewolf there, but not shockingly so. And it was really weird. And of course, Saunders acting like an asshole. To me, that whole back and forth really felt like a commentary about how Americans are perceived overseas, kind of a yin and a yang of how we're perceived and how we act to justify that perception in some cases, especially rich people who feel like they have some kind of entitlement to how they should be treated as the upper crust. But I tell you what, in that whole train section, that one panel with the woman that the werewolf hooligans were harassing and then eventually tore apart is one of the most bloody and disgusting horror panels I've seen in a long time. You know, back when I was a little kid, my parents would always bring home boxes of comics from auctions, and I would get some of those old horror comics, and I remember some of those just scaring the shit out of me. I remember sitting in my bedroom one afternoon, I don't know if it was a weekend or like in the summertime, maybe it was in the summer, but I'm just reading these comics, and I, you know, when I started reading, I didn't have the lights on because there was enough light coming through my bedroom window. And the longer I read, the more the sun went down. And next thing I realized, it's getting a little bit dark. I mean, it was still light enough to read, but just dark enough that there were some shadows in the room and things started to get creepy and scared the shit out of me. Bottom line is it scared the shit out of me. I haven't said something unnerved me that much since then. And that panel, Michael Walsh just knocked it out of the park with that as far as the gore and the horror of it. But I thought it was cool after he gets off the train, these football hooligan werewolves are chasing him. He thinks he finds sanctuary in this cab, and it turns out the cab driver is a werewolf after he's, kind of bad-mouthing things, and the cab driver takes him to this pub where he can make a phone call and finds out that it's all kind of a setup. There's werewolves there waiting for him to tear him asunder because the guy that he was supposed to be buying this cane from essentially set him up to be torn apart, and then the guy's going to get Saunders horror memorabilia collection. Now, they didn't do this in the comic, but from what I understand of the short story, when the werewolf cab driver pulls up to this pub, it's kind of alluded to that Saunders is going to be eaten, and the cab driver says that you're just in time for dinner. I do like that, and I think the story ends right there. I do like that ending, but you don't need that to be said because you get the visuals of Saunders being torn apart limb from limb by all these wolves and a very bloody and disgusting end to a very bloody good story. And it even says as much on the back cover of Creepshow, a bloody mess. And I think that is a very accurate description of this special edition of Creepshow, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. I really loved this. Like I said, I'm not completely familiar with the short story of Joe Hill's Wolverton Station, but after reading this, I want to go back and check it out and check out the short story collection Full Throttle from Joe Hill that has this and some other interesting stories, some that I'm aware of, some that I'm not. But ultimately, this was a really cool special edition from the Creepshow comic series that, like I said, I hope they do more of, because I thought, one, the art is just out of this world. Michael Walsh, who did the art for this, like I said, he did the art for The Man with No Eyes in one of the, I can't remember which issue of Volume 2 of Creepshow that was in, maybe like one of the two or three, something like that. One of my favorite stories from that, and his art is just gory and disgusting and beautiful all at the same time. Really a stunning job from him. Jason Charmella did a really good job adapting Joe Hill's story. From what I understand of Joe Hill's story, I don't think once I read Joe Hill's version of this story, I don't think I'm going to differ in my opinion, because I think Joe Hill, like I said, has worked with Jason Charmella before and has faith in him adapting his work. And I like the things. From what I understand of Joe Hill's story, I like the things that they changed. I like the fact that they made the Saunders character less about corporate America and more about like a horror collector, because I think that really resonates with horror fans. It really resonates in a horror comic. I think it adds a little bit more creepiness to it, to people who collect horror memorabilia. I mean, we're creepy people. So I like that. But unlike Saunders, we're creepy in all the best ways. But I dig the story in and of itself. The fact that you have this guy, Saunders, who is a vile human being, some of the worst that our species has to offer, and to see him get his comeuppance in such a horrific way that you're still scared for him as this is all going on, because no matter how horrible he is, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes getting my guts torn out and being ripped limb from limb by all these werewolves. And I really dig the situation that Joe Hill has created. He's created a world, at least in this version of England, where werewolves walk around and maybe they're centralized to the city of Wolverton, but they're out in other places traveling around among people. They are allowed, obviously, to tear people limb from limb without without repercussions. And it does speak to kind of the football hoodlum problem that you have in England, that I don't know if it's as big a problem as sometimes it's made out to be, but it is a problem that, you know, people just kind of turn a blind eye to. Violence in and of itself, you know, people turn a blind eye to violence a lot of times, whether it's in England or it's in the United States. You watch any TikTok video or Instagram video or Facebook video of these young kids just going around predatory like and beating the shit out of people for no goddamn reason, and we're all horrified by it and we're all up in arms about it, but nobody does anything about it. Society has lost the capacity to teach the younger generation any bit of compassion, any bit of value for human life, any bit of decency. That's not to say all young people are like that, but there's enough of them out there that it can be a problem that needs to be addressed. You know, there's too many videos that you can see online of people being horrible in and of themselves, but kids especially. And I don't know if this is making a commentary on that. I like this story because it's saying something, but it's not force feeding you what Joe Hill or Jason Tramiela want to put out there. It's saying things subtly enough that you can kind of draw your own conclusions. And I, those are the best stories. I love stories that have a message. But the ones that allow me to find the message or find the message that works for me, those are really special. And I think you get that with this story, or at least this adaptation of Joe Hill's story. And I, for one, absolutely loved it. A beautiful, beautiful book to read, comic book that is, beautifully drawn, horrifically drawn, disgustingly drawn by Michael Walsh, a wonderful adapted story by Jason Tramiela, a wonderful story that it's based on from Stephen King's baby boy, Joe Hill, and I really enjoyed this, and I hope Creepshow does more of this. Like I said, I love the Creepshow format where you have two really short stories. It's almost like an amuse-bouche of horror. You get a little bit of this story, you get a little bit of that story, the next issue, a little bit of this story, a little bit of that story. But I do like these longer format stories with the special editions. I hope they do more of those in the future. Or maybe, you know, more of them, more of these one-off issues in between volumes. You know, we've got volume 3 that, if it's going to come out, I know they did volume 1 and then next year volume 2. I'm hoping this year, once we get into September, I believe, August, September, we'll get volume 3. But kind of in between there, give us a little one-off story from somebody like Joe Hill or Stephen King. Or there's tons of other horror authors. I think this would be a great way to introduce people to some more horror authors. And I'm really excited to see the future of Creepshow, not just the anthology series on Shudder, but also this comic series, which I am really enjoying and can't wait to see what they do in the future with future volumes and future special editions like we got with Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on the Creepshow comic series special edition, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. You can check it out at your local comic book shop. You've got this, you've got volume 2 all out and in, you know, actual physical media, or, you know, I don't have a comic book shop around, and to try and order things, it's just kind of a pain in the ass. So I got it on Kindle from Amazon. And, you know, if you can't go out and get a physical copy, at least check it out on Kindle. And I guarantee you, you're going to enjoy this. So I want to thank everyone for listening to my thoughts on Creepshow's special edition, Joe Hill's Wolverton Station. You can check out more on Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop on our Facebook and Instagram pages. We're always posting about horror, fantasy, and science fiction, as well as the latest episodes that we're going to be dropping, some of the bonus episodes that we drop as well from time to time. As always, please leave a review. 5 stars would be awesome. But whatever review you leave, like, follow, and subscribe to us on whatever platform you happen to be listening to this podcast on. And please share this podcast with anyone that you know that loves horror, fantasy, and science fiction. So until next time. Thank you for visiting Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop. We hope that you found something to your liking and visit the shop again soon. But even though you may come back, you never really get to leave Odds Bodkins Curiosity Shop.